sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 121. I think very deeply. Take one. Let us begin. What, where, why, or when will all be explained like instructions to a game. See, I'm not insane. In fact, I'm kind of rational. When I be asking you, who is more dramatical, this one or that one, the white one or the black one, pick the punk and I'll jump up to attack one. KRS-One is just the guy to lead a crew, right up to your face and diss you. Everyone saw me on the last album cover, holding a pistol, something far from a lover, besides my brother, S-C-O-T-T. I just laugh, because no one can defeat me. Get it? S-C-O-T-T-T. You know what? I'll be juvenile. Okay, back to the poem. I just laugh, because no one can defeat me. This is my lecture number two, my philosophy. Number one was poetry. You know it's me. This is my philosophy. Many artists gotta learn. I'm not flammable. I don't burn. So please stop burning and learn to earn respect. Cause that's just what KR collects. See, what do you expect when you rhyme like a soft punk? You walk down the street and get jumped. You gotta have style and learn to be original. Cause everybody's gonna wanna diss you. Not again. Like me, we stood up for the South Bronx. And every sucker MC had a response. You think we care? I know that they are on the tip. My posse from the Bronx is thick. And in real life, we walk correctly. A lot of suckers would like to forget me, but I can't. Because like a champ, I got a record. I'm knocking off the frauds in a second. On the mic, I don't believe that you should get loose. I just produce. Excuse me. On the mic, I believe that you should go. Oh, my God. Okay, one more time. On the mic, I believe that you should get loose. I haven't come to tell you I got juice. I just produce, create, innovate on a higher level. I'll be back, but for now, just sackle. In about 1 second, you're a teacher is about to speak. No, that's what he says. In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak. Welcome. Bienvenue à un autre episode of Shut Up. Guest, I am your host, Beat Black, aka Beat Blizzard, aka Beat Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, and aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, before I start the show, I want to first welcome you new listeners, but also inform you. Welcome new listeners and returning listeners. But I got to inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. If you're a returning listener, I assume you're okay with this part. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Hey, yo, this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory, and today's date is October 25, 2023. What is it, Wednesday? Happy payday for some of you. And 6:02 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. Let me break it down for you, you listeners. Check it out. Okay. Again, welcome to Shut Up Podcast. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, or acts, if you will. And the first act is the introduction. Second one is news and random thought. Last one is final thought. Now, in the introduction, usually I like to start off with either a quote or a moment in history, today's date, today in history type of situation. But I ain't going to do any of that. No, in the introduction, I start with title of the episode. I read out some poetry. And then, but since I have no quote, I did a full verse of KRS-One's My Philosophy. And it's not a question of, like, I've been wanting to call an episode, I think, very deeply. And two, I've been wanting to recite that verse, that rap verse. It wasn't a question of when, it was a question of when would I. And don't be surprised if I reuse this title, right? Because it's my podcast. But, like, I was actually excited to recite that verse. And I'll elaborate in final thoughts. Sorry, something pricked me on my shoulder. Yeah, speaking of pricks, being pricked, I went to get my blood test. I should take a picture of my arms, pick up some chicks that way. And the lady couldn't get my first vein, so she pricked me somewhere else. So I got two scars on my arm, and kind of looks a little thugged out. I'm looking like a thug, right now. Anyways, yeah. All right, okay. So that's the introduction. Did the warm up. Now, let's jump to using random thought because I got a shitload of it. You know, I should probably mention, you know, using random thought, and we'll keep and I'll explain my that thought, that intrusive thought. So here we go. So I should probably mention that I went straight from work to the recording booth. Okay, that's a little lie. I went straight from work. Cleaned my I use a CPAP machine, and I had to clean my. This is a lot of details you don't need to know, right? But it's my podcast. So yeah. All right. So I had to clean my little, I call it not the jock strap, but my head strap. Whatever. Yeah. Clean, and then I went to set up. And here's the thing. This is what's a little different about today's episode is. Yesterday night, I threw in a whole bunch of content on the agenda, and I said, you know, I'll figure out what I want to say, and I think I'm going to freestyle. I have a whole bunch of shit to talk about, and I'm going to try to keep it within 20 minutes, using random thoughts, and then, so I could elaborate on my, even though I don't think final thoughts is going to be long, but doesn't matter. I'm going to try to keep it controlled, and, yeah. See, the thing is, I keep forgetting is, I got to do these episodes in a way that entertains me, that makes me, like, sure, I want an audience, but the second that it stops being fun, the second that I it feels too restrictive, the second that I put way too much thoughts in these fucking episodes, I think very deeply, then it stops being fun. So why, yeah, I just to say that I went straight to the recording booth, and then hit record. So, yeah. So, yeah. Returning listeners, I don't know. You probably won't notice the difference, but so here we are. Here we are. Okay. All right. First item on the user random thoughts. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, hey, you know what? Since it's not too long, I'm just gonna play it out, right? But I've been talking about Palestine, Israel and Palestine, and completely oblivious that apparently. This is embarrassing. What are we, October 25th? And I'm just catching up on... No, okay, here what's going on. There's a conflict. There's beef brooding between Haiti and Dominican Republic. Again! Yes, again. So, I'm just going to play this from AP News. What is this? What does AP News mean again? Doesn't matter, whatever. Some reputable So white man reputable organization. But so here we go. All right. Oh, should have gotten the reader ready. Yeah, here we go. Boom.
Haiti's government to oversee canal project that prompted Dominican Republic to close all borders.
Okay, now.
Dominican Republic security forces stand guard. The president of the Dominican Republic that targets waters from the Massacre River. San Juan, Puerto Rico, AP. Haiti's government on Thursday doubled down on the construction of a canal on Haitian soil that would divert water from a river it shares with the Dominican Republic.
Right.
Which in response last week shuttered land, air, and sea borders between both countries.
Wow.
The Haitian government said on social media that the agriculture ministry is working with a group of Haitians building the canal so that it meets technical standards and ensure it would not negatively affect crops and people living in the nearby Mirabeau Plain, which is under a drought. Mm-hmm. The canal must be built, the government said in a series of posts on X, the social platform formerly known as Twitter.
Fuck Twitter.
It added that the ministry always remains available to sit with all sectors concerned in the construction of the canal for a better planning of the construction sites.
Right.
Without forgetting that mobilization is the expression of solidarity and patriotism of a population that shows the world that Haiti is an adult nation. The statement is expected to further deepen long-simmering tensions between the two countries, which share the island of Hispaniola. Hmm. Dominican President Luis Abinader has said the construction violates a treaty and that the canal would divert water from the Massacre River that runs along the border and affect Dominican farmers and the environment. Hmm. The river is named after a bloody battle between Spanish and French colonizers, and it was the site of a mass killing of Haitians by the Dominican Army in 1937.
But I was just about to bring that up.
The river is named Abinader closed all borders on Friday after insisting that Haiti stop the canal construction that began several years ago, but was temporarily halted following the July 2021 assassination of President Jovenel Moise.
Oh, wow.
The Dominican government also is reactivating an old canal on the Massacre River near Dajabon before it crosses into Haiti to ensure water for local farmers and residents.
Hey, Dajabon, I've been
there. The project is expected to take a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Abinader spoke Wednesday at the United Nations General Assembly and said his administration has since April 2021 told Haitian authorities to halt work on the canal, which at the time was not considered a government project.
Wow.
The idea of this project was never officially communicated to the Dominican government, nor was documentation provided regarding its size, its environmental impact, and the identity of its final beneficiaries, Abinader said. He also urged the immediate deployment of a foreign armed force to Haiti to help quell a surge in gang violence amid a rise in killings, rapes, and kidnappings.
Oh, wow.
Now, because time has run out, Abinader said. Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry first requested such a force in October, but the UN Security Council has yet to act. Kenya has said it would lead a multinational force as it established diplomatic ties with Haiti on Wednesday.
Nice.
The U.S. has said it would submit a UN resolution authorizing such a force.
Man, fuck the U.S.
No timetable has been established. Oops. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Thursday that he had called on Henry to do more to engage and rally Haitians themselves around the prospect of international intervention, however it takes shape. We need to make sure that the Haitian people themselves are at the center of the path forward, regardless of how we define that path to be, and how we work to establish the right plan, he said.
Nice. Okay. All right. I am officially informed. All right. So first I found out about this. I was talking to my parents, and my dad's a pastor, and of course he's doing some raising funds for this stuff. Apparently, there's a big innovation, but from the diaspora to raise some funds to send to Haiti so they can build this canal. Now, I had no idea what the fuck they build a canal, how much. Okay, what do I know about agriculture and shit like that? But I know it's a goddamn river. We're sharing water here, man. What are you worried that more water's going to go one way than the other? I don't know. Anyways, so apparently, from what I hear, what I learned is they want to build this canal, and Dominican Republic is saying, oh, fuck that. I don't know how to say fuck that in Spanish, but I was about to make puto maricón. I don't think they talk like that. I don't think that's diplomatic. But, Dominican Republic is like, yeah, no, fuck that. You build that border, we close it down the borders. You build that border. You build that canal, we close it down the borders. And then we just fucked up because now it's messing with the pockets of all these merchants, and I guess in retaliation, Haiti decided to build this the canal. They would go ahead with the canal. Anyway, so I found out about this because my dad's church is raising funds to send to Haiti. Apparently, he's gathering funds to send to some church who's supposed to send it back to Haiti. Now, what's fucked up is one of my homegirls, who I consider my Haitian CNN, and I'm like, I'm surprised you didn't tell me about this story. And she was telling me how, yo, you got to be very careful on who you send money to. You got to be very careful. This is my HSP acting up right now, right? Because we live in a kind of world where someone would take advantage of this crisis, pretend that they're raising fund, pocket the money. So she's very skeptic about that shit because that it happened during the last earthquake, and so that shit broke my heart. Not that she's not willing to give money, it's the fact that there are people out there. The fact that I need to be careful. The fact that the world didn't come together and say, yo, let's raise some money. Nah. There's some assholes out there who are like, yeah, fuck that. We gonna make money out of suckers. So what I told myself is I haven't sent the money yet, but I'm skeptic. Asked my dad about it, and he said, yeah, no, bottom line is he trusts the person that he gives it to. So I'm going on, fuck it, you trust them, so be it. And if it turns out that the person he trusts played them, then fuck, dang. I mean, what are you going to do? I'm kind of hoping there's like some kind of code between Haitians, Christian Haitians, that's respected. If not, then fuck it. If not, then shit. What are you going to do? I mean, it's like, it's like add it to the list of reasons why this world makes me miserable. You know, I want to do something. I ain't got time to be all skeptic about it. Here's hoping the person my dad chose to trust does what they said they're going to do with that money. But if they don't, fuck, I'm going to burn his church myself. All right, okay. All right. So, yeah, man, I'm just going to, it's fucked up, man. It breaks my heart that human people, as much as the conflict between Haiti and Dominican Republic, imagine they shared an island. See, I'm a dreamer. I have a dream that, you know, that the two shared an island and then became a superpower in the Caribbean island. But, you know, nah, fuck that. That's not the kind of world we live in. That's not what human beings are. But who knows? Maybe in the future. Because I'm a dreamer. Like I said, I'm a dreamer. All right. Okay. So, you're welcome. We are all informed about the situation. You know, okay. So all these items, like I said, new listeners, this is what I do. I, throughout the week, I just find articles. And I'm like, this is interesting. Then I save it in my notes. And then, boom, it becomes speaking point. It becomes agenda item on my on the podcast. All right, okay. Next one. Okay, this one I liked is from Bell Hooks. Now, I just want to go out there. And I don't know, this is not me trying to pick up any chicks. But, yeah, I read her book. Was it Bell Hooks? Is it Introduction to Feminism? Feminism for Everyone? Bell Hooks. Hold on a second. What's it called again? Bell Hooks. Oh, come on. Sorry, my computer's fucking with me right now. Bell Hooks. And then Feminism. Sorry, my computer's. All right, I spell feminism. Feminism. God damn English language. Oh, Feminism is for Everybody by Bell Hooks. Oh my God, that took too long to figure that to remember. All right, okay. I read the book. And no, it's dope, but that's not the point where I'm bringing out is I just saw. You know what? I'm just gonna play this clip. At first, I've never heard her speak before, and never seen her in an image of her. But wait, that's Bell Hooks. Okay, you know what? Let me make sure some white man ain't playing me. Some white man on Instagram. Okay, let me put Bell Hooks. Okay, yeah, that is her. Oh my God. You know what? That's not who I. It doesn't matter. Okay, all right. Okay, let me play this, and this is Bell Hooks speaking freely, but she says something about white people that I can relate to. Here we go. not as a white person, but there.
Often white people will meet a black person who completely challenges every racial stereotype that they've ever had. Rather than giving up the stereotype, they create a special category for that person and say, well, you're not like other black people, or instead of saying, my ideas of black people were too narrow or right. too, and I think that's the tragedy of any kind of prejudicial thinking, that when we confront the circumstance that tells us it's not so, we frequently don't enlarge our sense of things. We actually come up with new ways to protect and defend that way of thinking. Often.
Yeah, man. Holy shit. that thought, that what she just said reminded me of how I grew up. And if I sound bitter, it's because I am. It's because I grew up with white people. I gotta tell you, white people could be the most depressing group of human beings to be around, just as much as they can be inspiring. I'll explain the times where they're inspiring. Inspiring as a human species, from the perspective of humanity, as from the perspective of the human family, right? So the parts where they're depressing is basically, I look at racism, white supremacy, like a drug, and or like, you know, not like an addiction, like they're possessed. Like black people, we got sunk in place. White people, they got racism, the belief in the grandeur of their white, like their white skin makes them superior to the rest of humanity. It's engraved in their fucking head. It's so much, like it's so fucked up. These crackers were willing to die. to die in a war to protect slavery to anyways it's I'm sure books have been written explain very well the relationship between white people and racism, but this is what gets me is, again, grew up with white people, and then and I've been used to, not once but more than once, having a white person, and I was very young when it would happen, right, have a white person dropped talking about a bunch of black people that they don't like. It could be some noisy types, or it could be a gang, whatever, right? And they would say something stupid like, yeah, they're behaving like niggers, or they're being niggers, or look at those niggers over there. And I'm like, what the fuck? And they'll look me dead in the eyes and act surprised. Like, no. I'm talking about them. You ain't them niggers. You ain't like them. like they didn't have the capacity in that moment to be like, right, okay, they're behaving like motherfuckers, like chas, like they behave like I could see, you know, okay, I'm overthinking this, but it's like the idea of black people was so ingrained in their head, bunch of pack of niggers, and then they'll look at me and it's like, no, when I think of you, I don't think of niggers, unless you piss me off. unless you talk shit about the lease again, you know what I mean? It's some bullshit. Now here's the thing, I won't lie, to make it worse, I'm gonna make the story even more depressing, is there was a time when if a white person would have said no, I'm not talking about them, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about them, part of me was like, oh, that's a compliment, he or she doesn't see me as a nigger. Cause I had an image of how black people were supposed. Even I'm surrounded by black people. Even though I am a black person, I'm like, oh, okay. Apparently, this is our identity, and it's up to me to not behave like an. It's up to me to not give that white person a reason to not call me nigga. But okay, I'm getting away. Right, I'm sticking. Going back to the point that Bell Hooks was saying, the idea of not being able of dropping that image. I mean, yeah, I can't say more. I can't, okay. I guess I could admit the times I've been guilty. So going back to the Palestine, I've been talking about the past episode, talking about the Palestine-Israeli conflict or recent conflict escalation, war. You know, I should just call it the fucking, not war. It's not even a war. It's more, Israeli speeding up their genocide process. Anyway, I was talking about how after 9/11, God damn it, stop messing with the microphone. But because I've been, you know what? I've been fidgety. When I was reciting that rhyme, I was moving the mouse and I'm reciting and moving the you know what? I'm playing with touching too many fucking buttons and bumping the mic. That's why you're hearing this shit like that there. This is me hitting the microphone. Okay. Let me try and control myself here. Okay? Control yourself. All right, where was I? What the fuck was I? Oh, right. So I was talking about how 9/11, after 9/11, I'm watching the news, trying to make sense of what the fuck's going on. And I'm buying into what mainstream media was saying. It's like, yeah, man, fucking brown, bunch of, well, there we go. There we go. Yeah, man, we got to go to war with these brown people, these dangerous Muslim, like these, not realizing that I'm being like fed Islamophobia, right? Now, I grew up with Muslims. I had friends, coworkers who were Muslims, right? Human beings. And I was allowing myself to be like, yeah, get angry at oh my God. I think I was just as bad. I was as guilty as, of course I didn't verbalize it, but I remember feeling that. I still remember after 9/11 and I'm being angry and this man came out and was trying to explain how, yo, Islam is a religion of peace. And I was like, did you not see them fucking towers? You call that, you know, like I was too, like I understood what he was trying to do. It'd be like me saying, hey, I'm a human being. It's like, yo, when I signed up to be a Muslim, I signed up for the peace part, right? I'm thinking of the peace, like it's how I get my peace. It's like how, it's what allows me to be a good person. These motherfuckers are on some other shit. Like, they're like, oh, there we go. Okay, circle back around. They would be like, I'm choosing to, like, going back to that charity, I'm choosing to trust my dad and the person he's going to give the money because I'm hoping the motherfucker he's giving this donation money to is living by the code of Christianity. Like, who... Like he's like, it's like he knows that stealing is fucking wrong, especially stealing from a charity, right? I'm hoping the person he's talking to, because I know he's Christian, he or she is Christian, that person is like standing by that code. But every once in a while, you get some assholes who's like, yeah, fuck the code. I mean, I, you know, I'm gonna wear this coat called Christianity. I'm going too far. So I'm I got lost in what I'm trying to say here. Yes. I guess I'm trying to say how I could relate as a human being to be stuck with an idea. Like, I was close to being like, man, fuck them insurgents. And then my homie would be like, bro, that's my cousin. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about them niggers. You know, I guess I'm, fuck, I hate that I just did that. I connected to, I didn't empathize, but it's me trying to understand. Sometimes, every once in a while, I like to try to understand what it's like to be a white person. Like, I know what it's like to be a human being suffering from white supremacy as a black person. But as a white person, every once in a while, like, I guess I could understand where you're like, taking a human being and reducing them to a racist calligraphy. I'm not sure if I'm using right words here, but to an image that they're not. And yeah, you know what? This shit is depressing me. All right, I'm gonna jump to the next one. But shout out to Bell Hooks, man. Make sure you rest in peace. All right. fuck. I might delete this episode. I hate when I do. Hey, you know what? That's what happens when you're like. A highly sensitive person and empathetic, you like empathize with assholes, with shitty people, and you can't help yourself. All right, next item. Oh, I like this one. Did I really forget to load this one? This thing here is Jesus. Okay, sorry, this thing is not allowing me to. Nope, that's not it. It's not allowing me to click on the tab. All right, okay. You know what? I can't. Oh, there we go. Okay, let's see if I can load this thing here. If it's not too long. Okay, I'm going to play this and, again, try to relate to it. Basically have, I've been in this situation. So I actually do not know the people speaking. I just know, well, except for Laverna, what's her name? Laverna Cox? Is that, fuck, what's her name again? Shit. Make sure I get her name right. Laverna Cox? Laverne Cox. There we go. Yes. American actress and activist. Okay. So, yeah. But apparently, I know they're big time folks, right? And I'm just going to play the clip. And it's not who the people involved in, but more what's happening here that I want to speak about that I can relate to. Okay. So here we go.
Titus, we got a text from Danielle T. Wanting to know the funniest or craziest thing Eddie Murphy's done on set of your new movie. How cool that you're making a movie with Eddie Murphy. Wow.
It's called My Name is Dolomite. Comes out in the fall.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah. We just got into the Toronto International Film Festival.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he cool to work with?
He was wonderful to work with. He is a brilliant man, and I'm so excited that for all the people who, younger generations who do not know Eddie Murphy,
yes,
will learn why he is a legend that he is.
Did you get to chat with him at all? Because he was very...
Of course I did. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, of course. Well, no, I just wonder if you got close at all, because he was very problematic for the gays at one point when I was coming
up. Oh, I see. So he wasn't problematic for Titus.
Good.
We had a wonderful time. And we talked about Dreamgirls, and he should have won the Oscar, I believe.
Yes.
So he was great, and any troubles he may have had with gay people, I guess, are gone because he loved me.
Good. Very good. It's game time, everybody. Lilius White is such an impressive...
All right, okay, yeah, he's... Brother's not impressed. Hold on, let me show you. I want to make sure I'm talking about Titus. Okay, I've seen him on memes. It doesn't matter. Okay, let me focus, right? And, okay, calm down. Reason why this clip got my attention is because that white boy speaking, I guess he's gay too, and wait, is he? It doesn't matter. Okay, here's what I'm trying to get at is, because Titus wasn't impressed with the fucking question. And what it reminded me of, the way that white dude said, yeah, he had a problem with the gays, it's like, it reminded me of when I was, you know, getting to my, growing up and getting into my blackness, discovering my blackness. I'm like, oh, right, okay, you keep calling me a nigga because, whatever, right? And it reminded me how white people, especially Canadians, right, with my white friends would come up and be like, hey, nigga, before you get into that blackness, remember you're one of us. you're Canadian first. Yes, being black to them was, oh, you're just trying to be a black American. And it's like they were using it as a way to be like, hey, is it gatekeeper? The way I looked at this clip, it's like the white dude was trying to say, hey, Titus, careful on your relationship with, I order you to be careful on your relationship with Eddie Murphy because he's got a problem with the gays and you know what the rules are. It'd be kind of like, so yeah, so I remember having white people coming up, having the audacity to be like, hey, your identity is Canadian first. Oblivious of the fact that I spent that, when people ask me where I'm from, I've gotten into the habit of first figuring out who's asking me this question. Like it's a complex question. Because the average Canadian didn't agree with the fact that I was Canadian. So I'm just saying it's annoying when white folks try to dictate, measure, control, or think they have a say in our in who we can interact. Let me put it this way. I'll be damned if I let a white person lecture me about the Nation of Islam. You know, they're anti-Semitic, so they are. Well, whatever. Okay, sure. I let a black person talk to me about why I should be fucking with the Nation of Islam, but a white person, man, shut the fuck up. Okay, granted, you know, the whole Scientology thing is another thing. But no, but seriously, man, you got some balls, white dude. You got some balls. And and let me back up. Actually, I do remember a white person. He didn't lecture me, but brought up the fact that how delirious and... Raw, Eddie Murphy Raw, Eddie Murphy was transphobic. Homophobic. And at the time, I'm like, what the fuck is homophobic? Man, I'm just getting through puberty. So sex ed class sucked, or I haven't taken sex ed class. So I'm like, all I knew was Eddie Murphy was the guy who kept saying, fuck you. I mean, yes, he was problematic towards gay people. He did say some problematic shit. I don't deny that. But it's like, shut the fuck up, white boy. Mind your goddamn business, you know? How about you figure out racism? Your relationship. How about you fix your relationship with racism, and then maybe I'll let you talk to me about who I shouldn't interact with. Yeah, whatever. Okay. All right, man. But shout out to Titus, man. Hold on. I want to see if he says anything else. But
vocalist, what are you saying, Titus?
Keep going, girl.
Keep going. But apparently, Titus was not impressed with that question. He was like, man, fuck you. Yeah, not today, white boy. Anyway, yeah, man, I really enjoyed this interaction because I've been there. All right, okay. Great, now I'm angry, man. What time is it? All right, okay. Looks like I'm going through the whole agenda, ain't it? Fuck that 20 minutes, okay. All right, let me see. Okay, I think this one's going to be a quick one. It's looks like I'm not going in order. All right. Okay. So this one I put it under. This tweet is something to think about. I'm not going to elaborate, but I am going to give this. I'm going to need to get back to you on this one. It goes, who is this? Le Nubien. Le Nubien. On dit La Nubien, but whatever. Okay. Je assume que t'es anglophone. Le Nubien. Nanny Fernand. Okay, whatever. It goes. And, they write, The Breakfast Club, The Shade Room, Say Cheese, Lipstick Alley, and World Star 2 are all have a thing in common. Virulent anti-blackness, that is why they are so popular, indeed. They are massive hubs for disinformation where people from all walks of life can bash black people together. Oh, wow. And this is in response to, what did MSNBC goes, oh, shit. Blog, popular gossip site, The Shade Room, helped spread racist right-wing rhetoric this week. It's part of a trend. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, man. It's information age, man. It's getting dangerous. Anyway, yeah, okay. I'm not going to speak more on it. Just, it's a tweet worth thinking about, reflecting on. But yeah, I agree. Yeah, but I didn't know it was that. I agree. I'm just going to leave it at that. I love this tweet. Okay, see, this is one of those. Again, I'm going to play this shit because it's my goddamn podcast. this is me asserting myself. So there's an interaction here. I'll just read it, okay? It's from Chris Evans, a tweet by Chris Evans, and he shares a clip with Iyanla Vazant. I used to say Yelant. I got her name wrong. Iyanla Vazant. And she's talking to, hey, I'll just read the caption. It goes, mother-in-law is passive aggressive. She's talking to this woman. Oh, this is a 5-minute clip. Fuck it. I'll just play it. And she's talking to this white woman, and this white woman is talking about how her son is married to a black woman, and she's German, and it's just, you know, I'm going to play it and with the caveat, and tell you if you see it. Can you see it? Here we go.
Her name is Ramisha. And
Ramisha.
Ramisha.
Is your daughter-in-law black?
African-American, yes.
Oh, and you came here from?
We came from Germany.
Germany?
Yes.
So you're German?
Yes.
And your son is German?
Yes.
Married to a black woman?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Keep going.
Okay.
There are some inherent challenges in that, but anyway.
Or cultural differences.
Yeah.
You know.
So culture is an issue. And then what?
For me, most of it is how you are brought up or where you brought up. And how you were raised.
Class.
Yes.
Culture, mm-hmm. And then class.
And maybe language, does it, maybe the way I, or how we say things in Germany, are maybe to say, said different here.
Okay.
So.
Where are you today? Let's start there.
Yes.
Where are you and her today?
So since January, we're not on very good terms because I said something to her that was my opinion and how she took it.
The result
was that she didn't let me see my grandchildren for the last 3 weeks.
What did you say?
I said to her that I cannot recall the first child ever having so many bumps or bruises on her forehead as the second child. And I know why.
Why?
Because the six-year-old is watching the three-year-old on the trampoline, or they're left downstairs while Mama is busy upstairs.
So what you were saying was, you're not watching your kids. And as a result, the little one seems to be getting banged up.
There we go.
That's what you were saying. But that's not what you said.
That's not what
you said, I don't recall
the
first child having as many
bruises.
So,
I was careful with how I said it.
Oh, that's not
careful. That's not careful. You know what? Okay, this is a long clip. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but. Okay, first thing, I'm going to read the caption by Chris Evans. He goes, mother-in-law is passive aggressive and thinks just because she says her criticism is quote unquote careful words, it's going to get a response. Let's just keep it real. She doesn't think an American black woman is good enough for her son. You know what? Okay, I don't disagree. What I'm getting at is two thoughts. First thought is it reminded me of, may he rest in peace, Stephen Covey. If you're familiar with this podcast, I talk a lot about my time reading his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And the first habit is be proactive, right? But in being proactive, he introduces the idea, or at least to me it was an introduction to the idea of taking responsibility for your action. Now, it's not just, oops, left the toilet seat up, you know what I mean? Let me put it down. No, it's deeper than that. It's also like, the way I'd explain it is, you're the captain of your own ship. Your hands is on the motherfucking steering wheel. So if your ship is in, if you meant to go to Bangladesh and, you know, okay, bad, whatever. If you meant to go to Bangladesh and you're in fucking Alaska, it's your motherfucking fault. But the fucking weather is, well, you should have figured out how to either not navigate that day or whatever. But the point is taking responsibilities for your action. That shit was a revolutionary thought. Because I used to say shit like, I'm the kind of person who would say, and I'm still working on it, right? I don't have time to talk to you. I don't have time to hang out with you. I didn't have time to do this. Or I can't do this because of work. The reality is what I was actually saying, when you start to take responsibility for your actions, is you start to realize is, no, it's not that I don't have the time, it's I didn't want to. I've decided to make this a priority over that. Do you know what I mean? What I'm getting at is there was a time where I would have been like, oh, this poor white lady can't get along with this poor white lady. Her, the empathetic, highly sensitive in me would have taken her word at face value and been like, oh, poor you, you're the victim in this situation. What? You can't see your granddaughter? Oh, man, black chicks. You know, I'm trying to make this white woman feel better. You know what I mean? They love a little racism. Black chicks. Hey, I mean, what's up? All right, here's a little pumpkin spice. Let's drink a pumpkin, whatever. My point is, fast forward is I can hear this story and I can already picture her daughter-in-law? Yeah, her daughter-in-law going, fuck that bitch. I can imagine how much she, motherhood is challenging enough, right? And then you add the mother-in-law, this passive-aggressive bitch, racist-ass mother-in-law to the picture, I can imagine her job is 300% just got harder. And her and I can imagine it's like, yo, your fucking bitch mom is coming to visit? Fuck. Like, I can picture not being in that, I can imagine myself being in that situation. And like I'm the daughter-in-law and telling my her son, it's like, yeah, if that your mom comes in again, I'm gonna kill y'all both. Like I'm used to that kind of passive aggressiveness. And like, cause I've gotten it from my own parents. And it's like, and instead of being direct, it's like, I'm trying to think of the recent one. It's like, I think my mom once said some shit like, she wanted me to make some family photos. And it's like, well, it's going to be a shame that I can't put any of my grandchildren's in there. It's like, fuck. You know that goddamn, that, it's not just the passive aggressive. It's more the, it's not just the passive aggressiveness. It's also the fact that it'd be all, I don't know if it'd probably be less hurtful if you were fucking direct. I'm disappointed in the fact that you didn't have any you didn't have any kids. You didn't get married. Like, in her case, in the interview, she goes further into, oh my God, how the house is a mess. And I'm sure I'm sure, like, I'm looking at my desk. My desk is kind of a mess. And if you judge me on the fact that my point is, some folks are neat and some folks are, that's just the way they get around, man. It's like, yeah, no, sure, it's a mess now, but I'll clean it up at some point. But one thing, I tell you what I don't need is someone over who doesn't live in my fucking house talking shit about how the fuck it's a mess. Look, all I'm saying is it's amazing how this woman, what I'm trying to get at is, I know I said two thoughts, it's just one thought. One thought combined into two is her racism. Her racism is not in check. Is her prejudice. She's convinced that she's not the problem in this situation. It's all the stepdaughter's fault, and not just her and how she interprets the situation. It's like, yo, I just called her a nigger. She should have known. I wasn't calling her a nigger. I was just saying her house looks like a nigger lives here. You know what I mean? It's like, like, check yourself, lady. You know, the world would be a better place if motherfuckers just checked themselves. You know, I'm just, you know, you can't tell. You probably can tell from my voice. But I saw this clip and that shit made me emotional. And the first person I thought of was the daughter-in-law. And I'm like, fuck, you had to have kids with these people, with that bloodline? Damn, poor you. I really hope the daughter-in-law's son makes it worth it. It's like, yeah, I know my mom's a bitch, but it's me and you, homegirl. It's me and you against the world. I really hope they have that kind of relationship. But yeah, man, this shit just made me angry. And shout out to Yolanda Vazan. She was like, it's not just poker face. It's like, wow. Wow. Kind of reminds me of the first time I met my, Yolanda Vazan's face. Kind of reminds me of the first time I met my, my therapist. And I was a problematic as a motherfucker, man. I won't go into details, but I was, but I was pretty much like, no, homegirl, I'm suicidal, but I'm like 9/11 hijacker suicidal. So, and just to be cool, just to be clear, I'm not going to kill everyone, just white people. I'm going to... I'm just... I think I went in there my first session trying to convince her, I need you to help me become a better terrorist. No, not a better terrorist. I need you to help me become a terrorist. Because right now, I'm being a bitch-ass nigga. And I want you to help me find my, I don't know, I think I thought my therapy was like, she was like a coach, a career coach. And I think I had therapy all wrong. Because I came in there with the intention of, I need you to help me become cruel, become a terrorist. And I couldn't tell at the time because I was emotional. But now, like, the back of my mind recorded, the look on her face was like... Sorry, my subconscious picked up on that same, you know, it's like you're looking at someone who's problematic and we're like, wow, yeah, man, I hope they plan on coming back for therapy. Like, it's not gonna be one therapy session. I hope they're signing up for the long haul because there's a lot of unpacking to do with this motherfucker. Anyways, yeah, I'm trying to imagine being a therapist and a MAGA supporter comes in. I'm like, fuck. Whew. A lot of unpacking here. Anyway, whatever. I'm just that this shit made me laugh and emotional. All right, I'm spiking too long. All right, okay. This one I'm gonna make it short. You know what? I'm gonna leave this in the show notes. But it's called Reverse Racism. Karen just added herself to the no fly list. Yeah, I'm gonna skip this one, man. Okay, and it's just a white woman who's on a plane out of all place, and she's complaining to the flight attendant about how she didn't get her drink, and she said that, flight attendant's black. She says, yeah, you didn't give me my drink because I'm white, because you gave it to these black people. And I'm like, it was a funny clip for me to watch. It's funny because I'm on the ground, but had I been on that plane, that shit would have been bad for my anxiety. Having a crazy white woman on the plane, like, I already don't like flying. I mean, I ain't no punk, but I'm just saying, I'm already uncomfortable flying, and you being crazy, going crazy on me mid-flight won't help the situation. Like, I'm fight or flight situation. Like, I might have to push you out the plane, bitch. Yeah, so I think it just made it scary, the idea that this white bitch was going crazy, racist, crazy on a like 30,000 feet. I don't know how high. They're high in the air. They're at a height that if the plane drops, we're dying. I don't need that shit right now, man. You're not helping my anxiety, white lady. All right, okay. I'm not going to play this clip also, but it's Beyonce doing some real shit. Basically, this is during her, I imagine this must have been during it's a clip of Beyonce during her, Destiny Child's Day. And the person comes up to her and says, hey, I just want your autograph. And she's really polite, gracious about it. She signs the book, you know, says, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's nice, you know. Signs the book and passes it to Michelle. Hey, what, shakes your head. It's like, what, white boy? And the reason why I appreciate this, because it reminded me of another clip of the sisterhood between those three. Of the Destiny, okay. That's right. Destiny's Child used to be five people. Okay, hold on a second. I mean, between specifically Kelly, Michelle, and Beyonce. There's a clip, an interview clip of those three, and the interviewer asks Michelle, I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty much along the line of, it must suck being you when you're sitting next to Beyonce. But like, how does it feel being a failure? Like, something along those lines. And was it Beyonce or Kelly or one of them responded with, look, man, we're sisters. We're not the kind of praise each other's celebration. We praise each other's successes. We high five. Her win is my win. I have my win. She has hers. And we praise each other for all our wins. My sister might be touring all over the world. And I got my little gospel album going on here. But the fact is we got each other's back. Like, the bond between those two is one of those things that's rarely spoken of. It's rarely, it's, let me put it this way. If it's amazing how we promote, encourage toxic behaviors. When the truth is a bond like that, a bond like those three sisters has would lead to Haiti and Dominican Republic doing shit like, oh, you're in the middle of canal? Okay, we'll help you out. You know what I mean? Like it's, again, I'm a dreamer. This is me. I'm trying to say that on one end, we say that people need to behave better, but we don't really encourage that. It's like the lady asking her that question. It's like, look, ladies, I'm trying to sell ad space. So if you guys can have it get into a cat fight, talk about how, yeah, I'm the dopest, say something controversial, that would really help me sell this fucking interview. Like, that's what the interviewer was going for. Like, kind shit doesn't sell. You know what sells is beef. Haiti's building a canal. Yeah, I'm callback. The possibility of Haiti going to war with, or Dominican Republic going to war with Haiti is like, nah, man, that's what the media's all about. That's what the people want to hear about. Fuck cooperation. Are you crazy? Anyways, it's just, again, this is my, I'm a dreamer. I have difficulty accepting the way the world is, and wish people could be better. Wish could be better. And because they can, I'm in therapy. All right. Okay. Last item. No. Okay. Last item before I share a quick thought on Palestine. Because like I said, if you've been paying attention to the, if you've been listening to the past episodes, was it one of the fourth episode? Well, since the conflict between Israel-Palestine escalated, Palestine's been on my mind. The conflict's been on my mind. But yeah, okay. So this one here is, okay, apparently, again, I'm going to assume because you listen to this podcast, you know how big we're on hip-hop, right? So I'm not going to explain. But apparently, DJ Envy is in trouble. And I'm going to play this article from TMZ, recent article. It goes, but it's about how, no, DJ Envy, there was no raid, but it explains the kind of trouble DJ Envy is in. All right, here we go. Yeah, there's an emotional aspect to this shit, so why I bring it up? But anything I bring up is because I had an emotional reaction to them, to these stories. Okay. Speaking of an emotional reaction, here, I'll tell you what, I'll read it myself. Okay, all right. DJ Envy, ex-business partner Cesar Spina, was arrested on fraud charges Wednesday. But reports that federal officials raided the iRadio offices and removed electronic equipment are not true. I didn't know. Who cares? The point is, his business partner was arrested for fraud, right? This according to federal law enforcement sources. Okay. Envy's lawyers, Massimo D'Angelo, tells TMZ Hip Hop, the reports are yet another example of the continued sensationalization in the media to attack his client. Man, shut up. His client's name to his story, even though he insists Envy is one of the victims, nor a perpetrator of the alleged fraud. Law enforcement source tells us the same, and the source at iHeartMedia also confirmed for us that no equipment was removed from the building. We're told the New Jersey Division of Drug Enforcement Administration and the FBI all had a part in investigating the case, and officials were at the office to alert Envy and Pina had been arrested. Okay, na-na-na-na-na. Pina was charged with one count of wire fraud. Oh, damn. Pleaded not guilty before being released on, $1 million bond. Yo, right now I'm having a Law and Order playing in my head. Doom, doom. He's not allowed to leave the state and is restricted to electronic monitoring. Go, what was his name again? Prosecutor? Cavisi? Doesn't matter. All right, okay. Envy has not been charged with any crimes and has steadily maintained his innocence, claiming he lost $500,000 of his own money in the deal. Oh, wow, okay. Here's the thing, okay? I won't lie to you. I can't be, I kind of have a bias on this because I want Envy to be guilty. J'aime pas sa face. I don't like his face. I don't know him personally. He's just an entertainer. He's just a celebrity to me. But I am not shocked. It won't be the first fucking time a celebrity was out there. Because Envy was pushing this whole idea of, yo, I'm trying to help our community get into money and all this shit. And then it's, apparently he's like took part in a Ponzi scheme. Here's my theory. I will not be surprised if Envy knew he was part of a Ponzi scheme, but didn't really give a fuck until he got caught. It was like, whatever, man. I'm going to help me use my celebrity to, like, he probably was on that. Maybe it's a Ponzi scheme. Maybe it's not. What do I care? But it's until he started losing money that it was like, oh, well, whatever. Oh. But again, I don't know the facts. I don't know the detail. Right now, DJ Envy is on this tour of, yo, I didn't do it. I didn't fucking do it. Come on, man. You got to believe me, man. I would never do that shit. It's like, yeah, man. It'd be nice to believe that It would be nice if we lived, it would be nice to believe, this is me going, I'm a dreamer again. It would be nice to believe that Envy is true to his word. He's a victim in this whole situation, and his homie, well, how the fuck did you not see it coming? But his homie played him, but took advantage. Yeah, his homie played him, and he's a victim in all this. But I don't know. All I know is I'm fucking disappointed because there's a lot of these dudes in our community who are like, yo, I'm going to help you become a success. Like, I could picture myself. There was a time, yeah, during my time where I used to read a lot of books, self-help books on being a success because I wanted to be a success. Now, granted, I wasn't the risk-taking type, but I could picture friends of mine. Yo, DJ Envy, I wanted to be down with your program. I want to be successful. I want to be into real estate and shit like that. I couldn't get into things like that because I refuse to trust anyone. Anyway, this is not the real punchline to this whole story. The real punchline to this story is how, and I just found, and I'm grateful, is how Desus Nice is the current host of The Daily Show. And this DJ Envy story comes out. What? Yo, Desus Nice must have had a boner when this shit happened. He must have been like, oh, okay, look, all my auntie prayers have come through. All those type of church have come through. By the way, I miss you. I miss the Bodega Boys, you know. But I'm trying to make peace with the fact that you guys have separated. No, this ain't like, oh, I hope you guys come back together. No, I'm trying to, I'm still trying to, it's like a divorce. Not that I know what it's like, but it's like, but I'm pretending like I'm a child looking at a divorce. Anyways, I miss those two together, but here's the future that we're at. So, Desus Nice is hosting The Daily Show, and he got to report on this story, Daily Show style. And the beauty in there, in the whole thing, you should watch it. I play it now, but I don't think I'm allowed to play Daily Show clips on it, on this thing. The beauty is how, of course, the power of The Daily Show is, I don't know how these fuckers do it, but they were able to find a clip of DJ Envy going, yep, I talked to Joe Budden, Fat Joe, I forget who's the third guy is, but and they all told me, yo, this shit's a Ponzi scheme. That's why I suspect that nigga kind of knew but didn't care. Still kept pushing his shit. You know, no, I'm into real estate. No, I'm trying to help our community get some generational wealth. And it's like, you know, I've seen the type. I've been disappointed by people like him before. That's why if I'm bitter, that's where this bitter is coming from. But and this is part of why, like, yeah, I want to believe he's guilty. But, you know, let him... I want to believe he's guilty, but the ideal in me, the idealist in me, wishes that the idealist in me died. Well, that's depressing. I'm rejoicing of the fact that Desus Nice guy to report on it. Like, that's the silver lining in this whole story for me. All right. Okay. Before I end using random thoughts, I'm going to thoughts on Palestine. Okay. So, again, I'm going to put most of the stuff that I've consumed regarding the conflict in, or the war. I need a better word for this shit. This escalation in the other links. But the one thought I will share, based on everything I've been going through, is it hit me that, check this out, I'm going to Google the words Israel, here's hoping Wikipedia don't fuck with me, Israel and apartheid regime, just those two words. And boom, first article is a Wikipedia entry. You can't trust Wikipedia. All right, fine. Amnesty International. Israel is an apartheid. You know what? No, I'm gonna stick to Wikipedia. Fuck you if you don't agree with it, and because there's a paragraph about Israel, and apartheid. And there's a section about how a 2022 Amnesty report saying, yo, the report states that taken together, Israel practices, including land expropriation, unlawful killings, forced displacement, restriction on movement, and denial of citizenship rights amount rights to the crime of apartheid. Citizenship rights amount to the crime of apartheid. It hit me. Calling Israel an apartheid state is like calling Canada or the United States a racist country. White people are going to take offense to it. And when I say white people, I'm going to say people who in positions of influence and power will take offense to it. Now in Canada, you know, they're slowly trying to make peace with the fact that, not peace, but accept the fact that, yeah, we're a racist country. How many kids for the, you know, Canada, like, sweep shit under the rug. So used to sweeping shit under the rug, like, they have no fucking idea. We don't know what we are anymore. But I realized saying Israel is an apartheid regime is the equivalent of saying Canada's a racist country. You're going to get some pushbacks. But not pushback Joe Blow. It's not just the Joe Blows. It's like CBC Radio will jump and be like, no, wow, 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 wow. We were racist, but not that racist. So when Amnesty International came out with the report, they got hit back by, who was it? Basically, they got the whole, oh, shit, yo, oh. The Anti-Defamation League criticized the report saying Amnesty International allegation that Israel's crimes goes back to the sin of its creation in 1948 serves to present the Jewish Democrat. Basically, they got accused of being anti-Semitic. I'm also starting to suspect that when people talk about the Zionists or the Zionist government or the Zionists, because someone explained to me how Zionists is a nationalistic Jewish group. And I'm wondering if Zionists are like Nation of Islam for black people, except, well, not Nation of Islam. Okay, I'll cut Nation of Islam. Okay, no, Nation of Islam. No, even worse. I'll go Black Israelites. I wonder if I'm starting to think that the Zionists are just a better funded version of the Black Israelites. Not just black, with influence. Like, if you don't want the Black Israelites to run this, you don't want the Black Israelites to have an army. White people. Because they ain't shit, man. I'm trying to think of the last Black nationalist group that I was... No, back then, I only knew about the Nation of Islam. Yeah, Black Nation of Islam is more organized. It's just gotten weird. I'm trying to think of the you know, I don't think I've ever known one. A black nationalist group that were A, successful. Not just successful, but a black nationalist group that, yeah, man, you don't want to show up to their event with a white girl. Or any of your white friends. I didn't start one, but I wanted to be one. They were pro-black and they won't have shit to do with white people. Not that they were out into, you know, not that they were about killing white people, but they were about, yeah, we don't like white folks. They can't be showing up to, yo, what the fuck you mean? Your kids are half black. No, they're black. Get rid of that white woman. So what I'm thinking is the difference between the potential black nationalist group that's out there is them niggas are broke. But in a parallel universe, I could picture that where the Zionists would be like, if we had our black nationalist group, and let's pretend for the sake of this conversation, Nigeria is like a superpower. It's like the equivalent to the United States, and they're backed by the United States. Where this story is going is, I could picture myself not being a Zionist, but go back to Africa. let's pretend like after slavery, right? Okay, yeah, okay, okay, here's the thing. Okay, let's pretend after slavery, I'm gonna make this shit worse. Okay. Okay, I got it. Okay, there's a bit somewhere in there. Okay, so after the Haitian Revolution. No. Okay, so in this story, after the Haitian, Haiti is a superpower. And it's hard to imagine, right? I'm sticking with Nigeria. Nigeria is a superpower, right? And nukes and everything. Like, don't fuck with, like, it's, I'm talking Wakanda. No, let's not exaggerate. No, okay. All right. Wakanda's real. They got superpower and Killmonger's in charge, all right? That's what I'm saying. Wakanda's real, Killmonger's running things, okay? And they found out about a black nationalistic group in Canada, and they're like, no, even better. They're like, let me try to pick a country that white people like. Fuck it, let's go in, just to make it relevant. They said, you know what? We're gonna take all you black Americans, and we're gonna take a spot in. Fuck it, just because I'm familiar with it, okay? And they come to Canada. I fucking love this story. They come to Canada, and they take over Ontario, and they say, all right, okay. And they say, okay, all you... Oh, that's what Liberia was about. But fuck it, for the sake of conversation, because I'm trying to make a white person be like, oh, wow, yeah, that would be fucked up if we're in those shoes, all right? So Nigeria decides... Oh, because Nigeria, I guess in this case, would be England. But fuck it. Nigeria represents England and the United States, all right? And they say, all right, look, all you ex-slaves, because this is the equivalent of the Holocaust, right? And they said, okay, all right, we're going to let you establish in Ontario. What about the people there? What about them? We gonna let you establish there, give you a shitload of guns, and if anyone fucks with you, we got your back. So we get Ontario, right? And when we start advertising, we start saying, okay, all right, black people from all over the world, we have a black utopia, Wakanda Jr. in Ontario. Move in. Man, holy shit, white people be pissed. Well, this version of white people would be pissed, but in this parallel universe, these white people couldn't do shit. They would be the victim. This story's making me laugh. Okay, you know what? I'm going to workshop this shit, man. I know most of you can't see it, but I can see it. This shit is fucking hilarious. Someone is stealing this idea, right? But they take Ontario. But white people, imagine black people moving into your neighborhoods. Well, they already are. But I mean, we're back like Wakanda. We got more than use. We got vibranium, man. We got, like, you fuck with us. So, basically, here's where this whole story is going. I could picture myself joining this. And all I got to do is, you know, be a little racist to white people. Okay, no problem. I'll do that if I get some nice property. Holy shit. Beachfront property. Holy shit. Yes. So, I see Ontario, because I'm familiar with Ontario. Yeah, I want a place by the canal. Fuck yes. Yes. Get some land around there. In Greeley? Yes. But there's some white people living in there. Not anymore. Beat it, Mano. And your boyfriend, I'm trying to think of a typical white person named Keith. Whatever, man. Y'all gotta leave. But it's unfair, it's fucking unfair. Oh yeah, well, whatever. We run things. And then we take over their neighborhood, and then anytime, and you know, as human beings, they start fighting back, then I blame them. Say, fuck, man. They got Hamas. Okay, instead of Hamas, they got the KKK. Yeah, the KKK is a terrorist organization. Nuke them niggas. Holy shit, I didn't think I was going to entertain myself. Okay, I need to write this shit down, man. I really need to write. I think I'm on to something. All right, okay. All right, so all this to say, from what I've learned, calling Israel a apartheid regime, you're pissing off people with power. And what kills me is how, it fucking kills me, is I'm listening to CBC and the way they're covering the war Palestine, or the conflict in Palestine, and making Hamas look like they came out of no nowhere. They were created in a vacuum. They one day woke up and said, you know what? We're gonna send some missiles to a country that could fuck us up in a second. That's got a bigger military budget than we do. You know, it just drives me nuts how these motherfuckers are bullshitting us, man. Holy shit, look at the time. I was not supposed to speak this long, but okay, let's jump to, what is it? Okay, I'm going to conclude news and random thoughts and go to final thoughts. And so much for keeping it into 20 minutes. Oh, fuck. Hey, my problem is, and I'll come back to it, I should write this shit down, is I put the subject down and I have no idea what I want to say until I finally say it. And because I only figure out what I want to say, it makes it hard to respect a time. But that's going to be my challenge. That's going to be my challenge for next time. So, all right, okay. This concludes News and Random Thought. Let's jump to final thoughts. So here we go. Shit. Yo, I got to do something about that idea. I'm going to write that down. All right, okay. You kill him at night. Oh, shit. Okay. I'm definitely getting some. I don't advertise, but Uber? Come on, man. Holler at me, man. All right, what's up with the title? Okay. Needless to say, like I mentioned, title came from the track My Philosophy by KRS-One. And My Philosophy by KRS-One, right? And that shit should have been a title a long time ago. And two things. One is it just gave me the opportunity to recite the first verse, one of the verses from that song. Like, it's one of those tracks that when it comes on, I'm, like, if karaoke, I'm doing My Philosophy by KRS-One. Anyways, what I like about it is, well, one is, it's interesting how I nearly didn't produce this show. I nearly didn't come out with this show because I wasn't inspired by anything. Well, it's a lie. I was in denial of what was inspired. Okay, this is what happened. On the last episode, I talked about how I want to send an email to the good people of the Black Fat Fam podcast. But I'm having difficulty writing it. It's not writer's block. It's more, it hit me. It's not writer's block. It hit me when it just came out is I used this, it's called S-Mind, this mind tool. How do you explain it? It's basically this tool called X-Mind, and the most professional popular mind mapping tool. And if you're ever writing a speech or if you're ever in a situation where you're trying to figure out what you're trying to say, sometimes it helps if you could just break it down into symbols. It's like, okay, this is the core message. And I realized that my core message was going to be my journey and your podcast. And I realized the points that I wanted to make was, first one is my journey. The reason why I'm writing to you is because I want to talk to you about my journey. Two, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your podcast. And the story is how your podcast allows me to move on my journey. And three is just little details about how fucking hard it was to write this goddamn email because it's part of my journey. And two, the challenges I have while listening to your podcast, and it's the fact that I feel like a white boy when there's stuff that I can consume, but every once in a while when I listen to their podcast, I feel like a white person, and they're my black friends, and I'm realized that it's my challenge. Like I like remind myself to respect their space, and all that. But here's the challenge: is I'm realizing that. My journey, oh my God, what makes this email so hard to write is because I can't figure out the part that I want to disclose about my journey, because it's a little sensitive for me to talk about how I started with this and I don't want to go here, basically how I went from being the whole point, because I didn't come to talk about the email. What I did want to talk about is I was thinking about the process, and it hit me. I've been plagued with thinking a lot. I think a lot. It's like if people who know me, I've heard it all my life. White, black, everyone. It's like, you think too much. I've been told that a lot all my life. Shit, even my therapist. I'm like, you think I think too much? I tell ya. And at first it bothered me. Like, okay, I'll try to think less because, you know, I'm trying to get bitches don't like niggas who think too much. But because I was trying to be like everyone else. I was trying to be like everyone else. But it hit me. Just fucking embrace that shit. And what I love about the My Philosophy track by KRS-One, by BDP KRS-One, is how in here is he embraces the fact that he's a thinker, that he's a philosopher, that he's a poet. What's that line? He goes, this is my philosophy. Man, no, he goes, where's the line again? He goes, you know, I'm taking my time with this because I'm reminding myself, Be Black, it's your fucking podcast. All right, go. Yeah, he goes, this is a lecture number two, my philosophy. Number one was poetry. You know it's me. This is my philosophy. Many artists got to learn. Basically, well, everyone else is bragging about how much money they got, how much girls they have sex with, the cars they drive, how much, like, that braggadociousness. Here, KRS-One, because KRS-One was on that, you know, I'm a thug. And well, he didn't say I'm a thug. But in this second album, he brags, not brags, but he just, yo, I'm a thinker. I'm a philosopher. It wasn't that deep when I first, oh my God, I still remember when this track came out and had no idea what the word philosophy meant. But I love how in this track, KRS-One is, I'm a teacher. Oh, it's in the second verse. He goes, he explains how he goes, what's the line he goes? So misery. No, he goes, the lecture's conducted to the mic and the speaker. Who gets weaker, the king or the teacher? It's not about salary. It's all about reality. Teachers teach and do the world good. Kings just rule and most never understood. If you were to rule or govern a certain industry, all inside this room right now would be in misery. No one would get along nor sing a song because everybody was singing for the king. Am I wrong? But what I like is everybody wants to be a king, and this nigga's out there talking about how, no, I want to be a teacher. It's just like the last episode where I talked about if you ain't got a gun, it's all right. This one of those tracks that's pretty much saying be embrace. You ain't got to be like everyone else. You a thinker? Fine. Then that's who you are. You want to be a teacher? You want to teach people? You like knowledge? You like sharing knowledge? Embrace who you are. Hip-hop started out, I ain't got it as bad as women, but hip-hop, like, it's funny, I would, as much as I would enjoy dancing and enjoying these tracks and the rhymes, but for the most part, when I absorb the lyrics, when I start processing the words, it's pretty much telling me, Be Black, you ain't shit. You got no hoes, you got no it's like, what's that one line that made me, it goes, there was a line by, so funny. Yeah, because I was thinking of DJ Envy, I was thinking of DJ Clue, and then DJ Clue reminded me of a track he had on his mixtape called Gangsta Shit with Jay-Z. And there's a track by Jay-Z where he talks about how soft as a baby bottom. You know, Jay-Z spot him. And he talks about how basically, long story short is he sees a guy who's soft. Jay-Z sees a guy who's soft, and he in the drug game. And he goes over his house, robs his buddy, and this dude is so soft that he doesn't bother tying him up. He gonna do shit. And then at some point he goes, hey, where's this guy? He goes, he's quiet. And he goes, this dude, okay, he uses a derogatory term, the F word, but that's not the point, right? But he says, this dude is in the closet dialing 911. And here's the punchline to this story. I'm listening to this story, and I'm like, yeah, I can picture myself being that guy being, you know, I want to be a drug dealer, and then I get robbed by a real drug dealer. I'm not stupid enough to call 911, but, you know, but I could picture myself trying my luck in a drug game and ending in me crying and robbed. My okay, hold on a second. Joking aside, no, my point is, I've known from the get-go, I don't have what it takes to be a drug dealer. Well, a successful one. Like the cool aspect part. Crackhead. One sad story. I'm like, oh, man. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to extend you some credit. I'm not dissing. Okay, my point is this. Is not to diss myself, but it's to acknowledge that may not have what it takes to be a drug dealer, but I do have what it takes to be a philosopher. I do have what it takes to be a teacher or a decent human being. Not a decent, but I don't mean decent human being, but I'm trying to say not an asshole. And yeah, if there's one thing I do resent about hip hop is how people like KRS-One were a minority. Granted, there were a lot of people around that philosophy shit and they were all about some bullshit, but you know, I'll back up from it. But I am going to say that I connect to this track, My Philosophy, by KRS-One. Not just because it's dope, but I just like how KRS-One stands out from everyone else and talks about, yo, I mean, sure, he talks about, you know, I'm going to whoop your ass for being a bitch, you know, if you for being weak, but he's from the Bronx. Of course, he's got he's a bad boy from the Bronx. He's a badass from the Bronx. Oh my God. Jesus, nice too. Call back. But he embraces the fact that, yo, I'm a thinker. I like to reflect on shit. I like to, this shit was so up my alley. It's amazing how when this track came out, the first time, well, okay, granted, I was struggling with the concept of self-acceptance, but this track should have been my moment of I'm feeling represented. And that's what's up with today's title. Hold on, make sure, because I wrote shit down. That's what's up with today's title. Yeah, I've always been a thinker, my journey. Yeah, all right. A lot of this came about while thinking about what part of my journey I want to share with the two people from Black Thought Fame. You know what? I'm going to save the rest for the next episode. Like, because, you know, I got to write this goddamn email. Yes, for those of you who expected me, like, I may have said that I was going to finish writing this email. Yes, I'm still writing. Yo, I'm George R.R. Martin with these emails right now, man. It's not that I'm taking my sweet time, but it's like a lot of thought goes into this shit. And one thing I hate is going half-cocked. Is sending out a message and then being like, oh, nope, that's not what I was trying to say. Like, let me put it this way. I want to write something that if they were to receive it and be like, yo, this is bullshit, at least I know that it's what I was trying to say, but they weren't able to, or they weren't, but it wasn't their season to process it. Right. I realize that I'm being a little negative expecting them to not like my message, but I'm just saying I want to make sure that whatever I put down in words and send them, that it's exactly what I was trying to say. You know what I mean? It's like, do your best and let the universe do the rest. Yeah, type of situation. All right, 1 hour, oh my God, on a Wednesday. This was supposed to be, whatever. It is what it is. Again, it's my goddamn podcast. You'll notice this is a motto. It's an unofficial motto of the podcast. Be like, it's your goddamn podcast. As in, do what you need to do. Have fun. I've grown up being the kind of person, I used to be the kind of person who, okay, what do you want it to be? And now with this one, it's like, it's your goddamn pot. You know, I'm going to, I remember when I was working on the logo for this podcast, for this iteration, the New Testament iteration of Shut Up Podcast. And when the artist was like, hey, why don't we use your face for the logo as opposed to this random dude? And what I love about that idea was like, because I thought about it, but I needed him to validate that idea. He didn't, I don't know, whatever. And I thought it was the greatest idea Even though it was mine, I just didn't say it out loud. I just loved that that person was like, hey, why don't we use your face? And which is such a great idea, because my intention with this iteration of this podcast was, it's my voice. Stop being scared of your fucking voice. Every past podcast that I made, I compared it to asking my friend to go tell the girl that I like her. It doesn't make sense. I mean, it makes sense to me. But basically, I was hiding behind other people trying to get heard. And then, I'm just saying, this is what I mean when I say it's your goddamn podcast. It's my reminder to make your choice. Your hands is on the motherfucking steering wheel. You have no more excuses. If you're trying to get to Bangladesh, I don't know why I'm thinking of Bangladesh, except for I love the name Bangladesh. It's some nigga from Bangladesh. Some people don't think my style is fresh. Whatever. Yeah, I just love that. If I'm trying to get to Bangladesh and end up in Alaska, I take full responsibility for that shit. All right. And this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. As usual, holler at me if you want to talk to me. Send your feedback. Send your little feedback. You can holler at me on these Twitter streets. My handle is @bblizzak or @shutuppodcast. On TikTok, b.black. You know what? Think of Twitter and TikTok as just places that I hang out, but I don't live there. But where I do live, my website, my home is shutuppodcast.com. All right? Holler at me at shutuppodcast.com. What? Shutuppodcast.com. And email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcast. Now, Google's on its way out, right? But doesn't matter. Google and Apple Podcast. You know what? And if you do go to Google, Apple, or Amazon Podcast, do a brother a favor. And especially if you enjoyed this episode, especially if you enjoy, you know, not just enjoy, but connected to what I was saying. I'm going for connections. That's what I'm looking for, connections. I'm not looking for fans. It's more connections. It's someone out there who's like, I know what the fuck you're talking about. I've been there. I know what you mean. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, man. So holler at me. Oh, yeah. If you make that connection, I'd appreciate a 5-star review. You know, just to find more of us out there. That's the whole intention is you and I connect, and let's find others like us. With that, okay. So as always, thank you for listening. And remember, let me prepare myself. Got to get the audio ready. Okay. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? Peace in the Middle East.